We'll let you know where to send your questions for Dave and Tom to respond to in future programs at the end of this broadcast. You're listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. Now, our final segment, Understanding the Scriptures. We continue our exploration of the doctrine of salvation with our focus on the importance of repentance. Once again, here's Dave and Tom.
The gospel, as I believe we've been demonstrating by discussing it for the past, or Dave, it's been a half year of programs, is a topic that's so splendid, so rich in meaning, that we haven't come close to covering it. Yet it's so simple, so uncontrived, that even a young child can grasp it and have eternal life through receiving it. Even so, Dave, when we or anyone else discusses the gospel, it doesn't take much for a controversy to get underway. I'm thinking about a particular situation where you wrote a booklet entitled The Non-Negotiable Gospel, and someone wrote to you objecting to the fact that they could not find repentance in its pages. Your reply caused a flood of mail disagreeing with you. Now, what could be so controversial about your viewpoint on repentance?
Well, Tom, I don't know. Sometimes you can become almost a little bit discouraged, if that were possible, because no matter how you try to clarify things, people have certain ideas. And when they have once gotten that idea in their head that I'm against repentance, which I'm not, I believe in repentance. Mm-hmm. But when they once get that idea in their head, there's nothing you can do to change it. Now, all I said...
Well, let's lay it out. Let's explain to people how this fits in, because it is an idea that would be easy to go astray.
Right. The idea that we get from the people who have written to us and so forth is, if you do not use the word repentance in your presentation of the gospel, this is not the gospel. And all I tried to say was, well, then I guess Jesus did not give the gospel to Nicodemus. We always turn people to John 3. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever repents and believeth in him, it doesn't say that, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we turn to John 3 because there Jesus is laying out conditions for salvation. And he's declaring very clearly, you've got to be born again. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up, and so forth. But he doesn't use the word repentance. So,
but what does repentance mean? I mean, what are we talking about here? He doesn't use the word, but it's there.
Well, Tom, let me
Nicodemus
finish.
Nicodemus has to repent.
Let me finish with this.
Okay, go for it, Dave.
We don't have the word there. We don't have the word in, Paul says, Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Okay, so you're saved through the gospel. You go to 1 Corinthians 15. He tells you what the gospel is. He says, this is the gospel that I preached unto you, by which you're saved, wherein you stand, and so forth, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, again, you don't find the word repentance, okay? And that was the original objection, was that in a little booklet that I wrote, The Non-Negotiable Gospel, the word repentance wasn't in there. But I think the idea of repentance...
Well, what are some of the ideas?
Is inherent,
there's more than one idea about it.
Right, is inherent within the gospel. Mm-hmm. In other words, when I believe that Christ died for my sins, and I turn to him as my Savior, surely I am repenting of being a sinner. I'm repenting of having rebelled against him. And I'm acknowledging that when he took my place, he had to suffer the judgment of Almighty God. And when I turn to Christ, I'm turning from my sin and from myself, and I'm turning to him. Mm-hmm. So without using the word repentance, certainly that's understood. But Tom, you've got a lot you want to contribute on this, so let me keep quiet for a bit.
No, Dave, I don't want you to keep quiet. But there are some aspects of repentance that I think, this is why we're getting so much mail, because it confuses people. You just identified, in effect, defined repentance as turning from us to Christ, turning from our life to the life that Christ has, to from what we couldn't do to what he can do and did do. But Dave, we have a scripture that confuses it a little bit. Judas repented, but he didn't turn to Christ. See, there's another sense of the word that confuses people. What does it mean, Judas repented? And why doesn't that fit into this?
Well, I guess Judas repented of the consequences that he brought upon himself.
Right.
His heart, I don't believe, had changed, apparently. But when I turn to Christ, I'm repenting, for example, of the very idea that by my efforts I could please God or I could earn my salvation. When I'm turning to Christ and I'm putting my faith in Him, I'm believing the gospel, I'm relinquishing everything. I'm relinquishing all claim to my own righteousness. Mm-hmm. I'm acknowledging that I'm a sinner. I wouldn't be believing in Christ if I were not acknowledging that I'm a sinner and that I am sorry for my sin. How could I possibly thank Him for dying in my place without being repentant for the sins that nailed Him there? It's because of my sins that Christ died. And so Paul says, this is the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins. I believe that. Mm-hmm. Am I not repenting of my sin and of the fact that it's my sin that nailed Him there? So I think we had a little problem here with those who sometimes I can impose my views upon someone to such an extent that I'm being unreasonable and I'm not recognizing that the other person is perhaps saying the same thing but in different words.
Yeah, but there also can be distinctions. For example, one concern that we have with regard to repentance is that some people see that as a precondition for salvation. Lord, I'm never going to do this again, and I reject all that I've done, and I'm going to go out and live a good life, and then I come to you. For example, as you know, and probably many of our listeners, I'm a former Catholic. For Catholics, the idea of repentance is not the same idea. The idea I had then is not the same idea I have now as an evangelical. Then it was penitence. Mm-hmm. There were certain things that you had to do. As a matter of fact, in Catholicism, the definition really comes from the Latin Vulgate. The Latin word can be translated very easily as penitence, expiation for sins, doing certain things before salvation can be gained. So there's confusion that way.
Yeah, and Tom, that's one of the problems or one of our concerns. There is no work that I can do. There is no change that I can make in my life that will clean me up and make me acceptable to God. And some people would get that idea from the word repentance. Now, you must repent. Well, that means I got to clean up my act. I've got to turn from all my sin. I'm an alcoholic, and I just can't lick this thing, and somehow I've got to turn away from that. When you turn to Christ and you put your faith in Him, this is what the Bible asks. Mm-hmm. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
Yeah. So, but Dave, that has to be tied in with Mark, an understanding of Mark 1:15. Mm-hmm. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's what you're talking mm-hmm. about. There has to be harmony between those two verses, or you've got them conflicting with one another.
Right. And all I'm trying to say is, when I believe the gospel, I'm repenting. Mm-hmm. Because the gospel, what does it say to me? It tells me I'm a sinner, tells me I'm hopeless, unworthy, a wretch, that there's nothing I can do. I cannot please God. I cannot earn eternal life. Salvation is a gift of God. It's not by works of righteousness that we've done, but by His mercy He saves us. So when I turn to Christ, I'm repenting. Mm-hmm. I'm in repentance, even though I don't use the exact word, but that is what has happened in my heart. And when I come to Him and I believe in Him, He does the work in my heart. I am born of the Spirit of God. I am born again. I become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And the gospel is such good news, Tom. It is so wonderful that all I have to do, and of course there are objections, the cultists, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society would say, oh, well, then you believe, all you got to do is believe, and now you can live whatever life you want, and so forth. No, if I'm made a new creature in Christ Jesus, then he has become my life. He lives his life in me. He's the one who changes me. It's not by gritting my teeth and vowing to live a new life, and it's not by the works of the flesh, as Paul said to the Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, are you now perfected in the flesh? Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ has come to live in me. So this is the wonderful promise of the gospel. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And Tom, you know, as a Catholic, you were under a burden to do all kinds of works, to engage in the sacraments and so forth. That really kept you from Christ, because you couldn't believe that salvation was a free gift.
Correct. And Dave, just to sum up what we've been saying here, it's a turning to Christ, and my life is going to be transformed. The works, just as you've alluded to, the things that people say, well, you ought to do this as a Christian, we can now do because we have Christ in our life, and he enables us to do it. That's
Amen.
The life in Christ.
Amen.
Dave and Tom will take up their discussion on God's salvation again next week. This is Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. If you are a diligent student of God's Word, our ministry makes available a wide selection of teaching materials, including books, tapes, CD-ROM, our internet website, and others. In a moment, we'll let you know how to order these and other materials, as well as a free subscription to our monthly newsletter. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 0350. And please, mention the call letters of this station. Next week, Dave and Tom will complete their series on the occult invasion and the coming world religion. America may have the highest crime rate in the world, but its people are the most religious. Dave and Tom will look at that topic and examine the question, are we pro-Israel or pro-Palestine? We hope you can join us. I'm Gary Carmichael, and for Dave, Tom, and everyone here at the Berean Call, I would like to thank you for tuning in and invite you back again next week. Until then, if you desire to know God's truth, search the Scriptures daily.
You've been listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. For more information about the Berean Call and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon, 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website at www.thebereancall.org. Join us again next week for Search the Scriptures Daily, featuring Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon.